Hey, Julie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. It's pretty dark in here. I don't have good lighting.
Okay, no problem.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just going to wait a minute, see if anybody else comes on.
Sure.
And I'm also going to fix this recording thing here. Okay, did you get a chance to listen to the or watch the other video from last time?
I didn't watch it, but I listened to it and I've done the meditation almost every day. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Good to see you.
You too.
Well, let's do a little singing and we'll see if some other folks come on. And I'm just going to mute y'all. Julie, just to let you know, so the way it works is that it's best for us all to be muted while we're doing the class, but then you can unmute yourself when you want to say something, okay?
Perfect, thanks.
Okay. Okay, so just opening with a little singing of the Shema, the melody we did last time. This melody is by Tziona Achashena. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Amen. Welcome, welcome, everybody. It's wonderful to see you. Looks like we've got almost everyone here. There's one person who's not with us right now. But it's great to see you, Julie. Julie was not on last time, so we'll get to meet each other. And I just want to review briefly what we did last week and then to kind of check in with folks and see how it's been going for you. So we did what I call light breathing, which means breathing in and filling the body with light. And then as we say each word of the Shema, projecting light into the six directions, one direction with each word. And we also did some hand motions with it, which are going to, we'll learn more about the hand motions not tonight, but at a different class, probably next week. But for now, the hand motions are left hand up, right hand down, and then right hand forward, left hand backward, and right hand left, and left hand left. And that points into the six directions. And I just want to acknowledge and give thanks for the opportunity to be able to come together and practice together. And that the underlying dynamic behind this and all the different meditation practices is something very simple, which is that consciousness is getting to know itself. And even though this is simple, it's a very, very deep process, because consciousness is normally, for most people in most of our lives, doesn't have permission or time or space to actually get to know what it is to be, to get to feel what it is to simply be conscious, do the activity of consciousness without also being involved in kind of all kinds of other things. So when we do these particular words and visualizations and breathing exercises, all of it is kind of aimed at allowing consciousness to awaken to itself in a deeper way. They're like portals inward. And in Judaism in particular, this is true in some other traditions as well, but especially true in Judaism, that the esoteric dimension is encoded in the ordinary or exoteric dimension. So every kid who goes to Hebrew school learns the Shema, and if they learn the word, what the meaning of it is at all, usually they'll learn it in terms of some kind of belief system, that it's telling us to believe that there's one God or something like that. But the Shema, as well as so many of the other prayers and practices in Judaism, are an outer shell which is hinting at a mystery within. And not all traditions are like that. Some traditions, particularly some versions of Buddhism, come right out and they just tell you the esoteric dimension right away. It's not even esoteric. It's just what the tradition is about. Judaism is not like that. It's very much is multi-layered. So, which I think personally is fun. I like that about Judaism. I like that it doesn't come right out and tell you what it's really about underneath. And because of that, it's more like poetry. It's more interesting. It gives you the opportunity to dig beneath the words and to also connect with it on that level, which is more kind of mythic or cultural. We may call it different things like that, but on the level of story, on the level of legend, on the level of people history and all those kinds of things. But that outer shell is pointing us to an inner dimension. So I just want to check in with folks. Oh, and just to remind you, so when you want to say something, it would be great if you could press the, click the chat thing at the bottom. If you move your cursor, you should see a chat icon and it says chat. And then just write that, either write what you want to say, or you can write that you'd like to say something. There's only three of you now, so it probably doesn't matter so much if you want to just boop, unmute yourself. And but I'd like to open it up for a moment and just check in with folks, introduce yourself again, because you haven't met Julie yet, and let us know how it's been going for you this week with the practice so far.
I can start as the new kid on the block. So I'm Julie. I've been in Tucson about 2.5 years from Massachusetts originally, and I've been meditating on my heart for about 4 years, and have found that these practices bring me even deeper, because I have a childhood love of the Hebrew language specifically that I disconnected from quite a while. So I'm glad to be here. And I've been using the meditation practice almost every day this week and have really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, I do it repeatedly. I don't know how many times we're supposed to do it, but I just keep going. And yeah, so anyway, thank you.
Yeah, wonderful. Great to hear that you jumped in.
Great. Sorry to miss last week.
Anybody else want to check in a little bit? Cool, Ruth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Muted, unmuted. Okay, I'm unmuted. I've been practicing the Shema with the hand motions, and I find that, you know, some days one word feels more meaningful than another. So it kind of is good in that sense. Something will trigger some response in my heart, it feels like. Some days Adonai is really it, and sometimes it's Eloheinu. Those are the two that most kind of get to me. Oh, by the way, I'm in Northampton, Massachusetts, and this is my second time doing this class. I just find the classes so supportive to my everyday life and challenges. Really, really helpful. I sort of, you know, they just get me to where I am. They, you know, if it brings tears to my eyes, I think that's a good thing. That's what it does.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, there's it's here to we're here to get cracked open to the degree that that we want to be cracked.
Right.
So sometimes it's quick, and sometimes you have to sit for some time to allow that opening to happen. Ruth alluded also. Anybody who wants to take this class again, once you take the class, you can just take it again and again as many as you want, as long as it's happening. And I anticipate that it'll happen a few times a year, as long as I have the koach. Cool. All right, Stephen, you want to check in a little bit?
Yes, just very personal for me. You know that I've been meditating on the Shema for many years. So the particular visualizations that you gave us triggered at first some of my compulsiveness or nervousness about how to make it work and so forth, and that interfered with my usual practice. It interfered with the concentration somewhat. But then almost immediately, I think by the second or third time, an explosion occurred for me of light, where from our previous talks, you know that I'm very much using energies to power my practice. And it's really helping me stay centered in the divine consciousness and allow whatever unpleasantness, which has been considerable the past year, to arise and be healed. It's brought me to tears. It's been very, very useful and powerful.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, thank God. Yeah, I find this practice very powerful. This practice that we're doing is, for me, also embedded within my practice, which involves other stuff too. But this remains a core piece for me. And also just to remind everybody that learning this particular practice of the Shema doesn't mean that you can't also do other Shema practices. I personally do this Shema very much in the beginning of when I first sit down and begin to meditate. Later on, I do the whole traditional davening, and I come to the Shema again in the regular place that it comes up in the davening. And I don't do the whole elaborate meditation that we're doing when I come to it at that point. So we can all, you know, anybody who wants to talk privately about crafting your daily practice, you may or may not want some help with that, but I'm happy to do that too. So this week we're going to become a little bit more nuanced with the light breathing, the filling the body with light. The extending of the light in the six directions will remain the same, but when we breathe the light in, there's going to be a new nuance for that. And I sent, just before the class started, I sent an email which just has a little picture of a human body with the four letters of the divine name in the body. So there's a yud in the head, and then there's a hey in the chest and arms, and then a vav as the spinal cord, and then a hey as the legs. And you don't necessarily have to look at that. If you have an idea in your mind of what the yud and the hey and the vav look like, you can just imagine that. And we're only going to be dealing with the yud and the hey and the vav, so not the final hey that are in the legs, but just the head, chest, and belly. The vav, which is the spinal cord, is really extending mostly into your belly, so it's corresponding to the belly. So what we're going to do is when we breathe in and fill the body with light, and then it go in the six directions, we'll be doing it in the order of the six different permutations that are possible with three anything. It could be three letters, three numbers, it doesn't matter, but there's only six permutations that are possible. So just to give, just briefly, to understand what I'm talking about, if you have ABC, for example, you can say ABC or ACB. And then you can start with a letter B and say BAC and BCA. And then start with a letter C and say CAB, CBA. And those are the six possible orders of those three letters. But we'll be doing Yud, Hey, and Vav. Before we actually do it with the letters, let's just do it with the parts of the body, because you get a real kind of visceral feel for what we're doing as opposed to intellectual. And you don't have to work too hard intellectually anyway, because I'll be saying the letters as we do it. I'll be guiding it. When you practice on your own, it may take a little bit of effort to remember how to do those permutations, depending on whether you have a mathematical mind or not. But don't worry, I definitely do not have a mathematical mind. And just from doing it over and over again, it'll become very much second nature. So the way it works is that we're going to take three sips of air. So we're going to breathe in a little bit like this. And with the first sip of air, imagine your head becoming filled with light. And then the second sip of air, imagine your chest filled with light. And the third sip of air, your belly becomes filled with light. And then we'll just breathe out. So let's practice that. And I'll give the permutations, not in terms of the letter, but in terms of the parts of the body. So it's going to go head, chest, belly, then head, belly, chest, then chest, head, belly, and chest, belly, head, and then belly, head, chest, and belly, chest, head. And that's all six. And don't worry about the directions, don't worry about the Shema yet, but let's try just the visualization and the three sips of air. Okay. So here we go. We're going to breathe in three sips of air, first with the head and chest and belly. Here we go. Head, chest, belly. The whole body is filled with light, and breathe out. Now three sips of air, breathing in, filling the head, filling the belly, filling the chest, and breathing out. Now the first sip, filling the chest, filling your head, filling your belly, and breathing out. And now sipping, filling your chest, filling your belly, filling your head, and breathing out. And finally, filling your belly, filling your head, filling your chest, and breathing out. And last one, filling your belly, filling your chest, filling your head, and breathing out. Just sit for a few moments breathing naturally. Okay, just to check in, does anybody have any question on that? I can see you all, so if you want to just raise your hand if you have a question on that. Sure, Ruth, you want to unmute yourself?
So I really do notice that I have a hard time visualizing light. Mm-hmm. I can imagine the syllables. I can imagine, you know, having done it before, I can imagine the letters or the parts of the body. I can imagine it. I can remember it. But and you mentioned it last week. Don't worry if you're not feeling the light. I definitely, yeah. And some directions are a little better than others. And, you know, what do you have to say about that?
I'd say that that's fine. And when you do it, are you able to simply direct your attention to the different part of your body?
I think so.
Yeah. So if you think, okay, what does my head feel like? And, you know, your head was there even before you said that, of course. But when you said that, what does my head feel like? It's just like our attention shifts a little bit more to this area. Do you have a sense of that?
I think so. I think that's what I do experience. It's just it's not like I'm disconnected from the sensation of the location. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm not always feeling it as light, but maybe just some awareness or attention in the area.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. And if you have the intention of light without being able to visualize it, then it may be at some point that the visualization of the light comes. But the focusing of the mind to create a certain image is not really the point. Even though it can be helpful if you can do that, but that's not really the point. And so sometimes when people visualize extending light or extending awareness into a direction, like forward or to the side or whatever, sometimes it feels kind of like it's not going to this side. Like somehow it feels like it's going to go this way when you want it to go that way. Again, don't even worry about it, because the real effective part of the practice is that you are simply working with your attention. You're aware of the attention. And if the attention wants to go this way and you start trying to force it this way, then we're creating kind of what we might call like a dualizing of within ourselves when we don't have to. Right? Like there's me and there's my what I want, and then there's my attention and it's moving this way and I don't want it to. So we've kind of split ourselves up into different pieces. And the whole point of doing this practice is to let go of that split and to just be with what is, to be with the moment as it is. And the directing of the mind is just a helper tool to bring us more deeply into that. Now, everybody makes this mistake. It's a very, very common, you know, and in some traditions, when you learn how to meditate, no one even tells you not to make this mistake. You just allow, like in Zen, for example, at least for the way I've heard it reported from some practitioners, is they'll say that they're given very little instruction and they just have to sit there and just be quiet and follow your breathing. And there's no other instruction beyond that. And then whenever you, just from doing that for enough time, you begin to realize, oh, I'm not really helping anything by struggling with my awareness, trying to direct it in this way. Like that's not helping. All I have to do is just kind of nothing, you know? And then all of a sudden, then they've got it. Then they've collapsed their inner split into just one field of awareness that is simply being with what is. And part of what is this intention to direct your attention in a certain way. And part of what is not being able to do that totally. And that's, and both of those are fine, because the point is being with the field of awareness. So I like to come out and say it right away, you know, as part of the instruction, that when you notice yourself struggling, you know, we tend to create struggle. And if we have an unpleasant feeling, like when we have unpleasant emotions, if we're in pain in some way, of course, that naturally creates a kind of sense of struggle, because we don't want to be in pain, or maybe that makes us feel like we have to fix something. You know, all kinds of different dynamics can arise from that. And the practice of meditation is again and again just reminding ourselves, oh, this is what is. This is what's happening. This is being with what's happening. And that's the transformational process, is just again and again bringing us ourselves back to be with the fullness of what is, without trying to manipulate it. And that includes, of course, you know, if we feel some sense of struggle, then it's allowing the struggle to be there too. So it's always just whatever it is, whatever's arising, allowing it to be. So that's a long answer, but it's
good. It's helpful. Yeah,
it applies to not just, of course, the visualization. It applies to any aspect of our practice that we tend to dualize with.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Great. So, okay. So I'm going to put this back. All right, there we go. So let's do the, let's add the piece now of the Yud and Hey and Vav. And again, if you don't clearly visualize the letters in your body, that's fine too, but just know that they're there. Know that that's the intention. And instead of saying head, chest, and belly, I'm gonna say Yud, Hey, and Vav. Okay, so I'll say sipping in air, Yud, and Hey, and Vav. And now it's up to you to just remember that Yud is your head, Hey is your chest, and Vav is your belly, okay? We're also going to add the words of the Shema and projecting in the six directions, okay? If you're comfortable at this point, go ahead and add the hand motions too, but I'm not gonna direct it with the hand motions because that's a little bit complicated at this point. So I'll just be doing the sips of air, head, chest, and belly, but I will only say the letters and you'll know what they mean, right? Everybody knows what they mean? Everybody gets it? Okay, great. Okay, here we go. So just take a moment. And we're going to begin the light breathing, three parts of the body. Yud is head, Hey is chest, Vav is belly. Three sips of air, sipping in for Yud, Hey, Vav, and projecting light, chanting Shema upward. Shema. Three sips breathing in Yud, Vav, Hey, and Yisrael projected downwards. Yisrael. Breathing in Hey, breathing in Yud, breathing in Vav, Yadonai forward. Yadonai. Breathing in Hey and Vav and Yud, Eloheinu backwards. Eloheinu. breathing in Vav, breathing in Yud, breathing in He, Yadonai to the right, Yadonai. Breathing in Vav, breathing in He, breathing in Yud, Echad to the left, Echad. And just taking a moment to imagine the light in the six directions, or just your attention in the six directions. Again, if the visualization isn't perfect, no problem at all. But just seeing if you can sense those six directions. And we'll take just a few moments in silence. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So I want to just briefly review the meanings of Shema Yisrael that we talked about last week in particular, which is that Yisrael, according to the Torah, which is where the word comes from, says that Yisrael is Sarita im Elohim. Sarita means striving, and im means with, and Elohim is one of the divine names. And so Elohim also, of course, contains within it El, which is just the generic word for the divine. And so the idea is that the Jewish identity is based on this. It's based on this relationship with the divine, which is one of striving toward the divine, and that's what Jewish identity is based on, according to the texts, at its root, at its core. Shema, on the other hand, kind of contrasts with the meaning of Yisrael, because Shema is just about being aware; it's just about listening. And when we do this act of simply being an open door, so to speak, or an open eye, an open ear, a knowing presence, a receiving presence, then identity, it becomes kind of objectified. You know, whatever roles that we're playing in our lives, and we're all, as long as we're living in civilization, we're always playing roles. We tend to become identified with those roles. And if those roles are burdensome, then there's a sense of heaviness in the story of our lives. But through the practice of Shema, of simply being aware, there can be a putting down of that burden. And then you can perceive that identity as part of you, something that exists in your mind and in your emotions, but as well as your body, you perceive your body, but you can also kind of know yourself as something beyond all that, that's really free from all identity. So here with Shema Yisrael, we have this kind of two halves that are both important. One, which is kind of the expansive, liberated me, that's just awareness. And on the other hand, that's Shema. And then Yisrael is about intentionally taking on the identity in our lives of making our spiritual work central, like that's our core identity. In terms of our identity and all the different roles we play, the core of it, the most important part of it, is that we are Yisrael. We are striving to bring more light into the world, so to speak, or striving to become, to actualize an awakened life in a way that's going to bring positivity into the world. So the next two words are Adonai Eloheinu, and Adonai is doesn't really mean anything, but it sounds very much like the word Adoni, and Adoni simply means my Lord. So it's a very kind of evokes this, it's a very personal image of the divine, and it, Adonai is just a play on the word Adoni. So it basically means my Lord. But the name that we say Adonai is just the custom to say Adonai, but that's not actually the divine name that's written there. What's written there in the Shema and in most places that refer to the divine in the Torah and in the prayer book and so on is this name that we've been visualizing in the body, the Yud and the He and the Vav, and then the He at the end. This name is not traditionally pronounced. It's instead, when you see it visually, you say another name, Adonai. But the name itself comes from the root, which is Hey Yud Hey, which is the verb to be. So it's so the divine name itself means existence. It means being. It means that which is. Again, right within that practice of seeing the Yud Hey Vav and Hey and saying Adonai, we have another polarity, just like Shema Yisrael was polarity, no identity, spiritual identity. With in the name Adonai, there's a polarity because the Yod Hey Vav Hey is something that is beyond all name, beyond all conception, includes everything. But the word Adonai is imagining, in a sense, that God is like a deity, something that we can relate to in a personal way. And a couple weeks ago, when I was at a synagogue in Berkeley, and I saw a friend of mine, Eliyahu, and we were waiting in line for the food at the Kiddush, and we were talking about this very thing. And he said something that I thought was interesting, so I want to share it. He said that he finds it very helpful to imagine the divine as kind of like as a person, even though he understands that divine is not a person, it's the all, but to imagine it as a person helps him to connect in a prayerful way. So that was kind of a testimonial to exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, Peter just popped on. Good to see you. So there's also contained within this polarity of Adonai versus Hashem, the Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, also is expressed in the polarity between meditation and prayer. They really work together synergistically, but they're not exactly the same thing. Meditation at its core is simply being. And there's no separation. The mind is not making a separation between me and something else. So as thoughts are repeatedly just set aside and let go and let go and let go, there can be a sense of just this one presence. And that's meditation. But with prayer, we're deliberately conceiving of the divine as something that we are confronting, that we're talking to. And so it's a much more to me, in my experience of it, it's a much more mobile kind of practice. And by mobile, I mean that there's energies in the body, energies in our heart, energies in our emotions, thoughts that are arising in the mind that need to be purified and kind of disentangled from whatever kind of web that they egoic web that they kind of can get tangled up in through the various unfolding of our lives. So by touching in on prayer regularly, it's a clarification and a purification. And the word for prayer in Hebrew actually means that. The word is mitpalel. I have to look it up. Does anybody remember what the word for prayer is? It's tefillah, but I'm trying to think of the Hebrew form that is the, it means to pray. Maybe it is mitpalel. I'm going to look it up real quick. I know exactly where I can find it. So here it is. Oh, well, they just put, anyway, pay lamed lamed. Maybe there's mitpalel. I'll look it up and I'll get back to you on that. Sorry about that. My brain is not remembering fully. But anyway, the point of it is that the meaning of the word tefillah, it's a reflexive verb. So normally we think of prayer as something that's going outward, but the word, the tefillah, the word for prayer itself, is a it means to act on oneself. So we are, when we're doing prayers and we're imagining the divine as a being that we are confronting and we're calling out from our heart to the divine, there's an inner purification process that happens. Like Ruth said, the tears coming to the eyes, you know, this is part of the outward signs of a transformational process. The meditation, of course, it's also transformational, but it's taking the opposite direction. Instead of taking our inner content and pouring it out, like the psalm says, pour out your heart like water before the divine, we are becoming the stillness within which everything is being experienced. So that's just, all that is in the word Adonai and the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. Meditation and prayer in one. And then the next word is Eloheinu, which just in a straight ahead translation means our God. And you know, when we see this in English, it tends to look a little bit like just a tribal kind of thing, like our God versus, you know, not the God of those guys, just ours. But again, in this deeper esoteric way of understanding it, the God, the divinity that we're talking about, is our own aliveness. It's our own consciousness, because what we tend to do, of course, what the mind tends to do is to imagine that the divine is something separate, that here we are, even if you conceive of the divine as the everything, you know, even if you're thinking of it as the yod in the hand, the vav in the hay, we unconsciously separate ourselves from reality. We think there's me and then there's the all, right? And we say, well, there's the all is everything that is, and then here's me thinking about it as two separate things. So in those two words, Adonai Eloheinu, it's telling us existence or reality or being is Eloheinu. It's not something different from the consciousness that we are that is perceiving it and within which the thoughts about it are arising. Okay? Existence is Eloheinu. All that is, all that we are experiencing is literally made out of our awareness in this moment. So it's a radical turning around and in a sense, relaxing out of the ordinary way that we tend to function in day-to-day practical life, and a dissolving into the oneness of our present moment experience as simply as different modulations of one consciousness that we are. Okay, so that's all I want to say about Adonai Eloheinu. Let's just take a moment to check in. Does anybody want to share anything about that or any questions about that before we do the practice one more time and meditate a little bit with the permutations? Yeah, Stephen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little bit low, but I can hear you.
I don't want to take up too much time with this, but for me, it's not a matter of right or wrong, just my own personal way of getting it has always been to contemplate eternity, my awareness of what's eternal in the moment that's beyond anything that I can experience other than that it's there, a presence, a sense of awe and dread and reverence that I cultivate with the Ad Hashem. And then the Eloheinu is the embodiment in this moment of everything that's existing that I'm aware of in the moment. So that the Echad becomes, it's all the same.
So are you saying, if I understand, you're saying that the Adonai or Ad Hashem is the eternal, which is beyond your experience.
Well, it's everything, every time. It's before time, after time. It's beyond right. What I can experience right now in this moment. It
yes.
Includes this moment, but I'm just more broadly in awe of contemplating, you know, if I'm outdoors, creation. And then it's always been there, it always will be there, and I'm watching that. I'm confronting that immense beyond infinity.
Yeah.
Beyond time, everything. But then I'm aware when I get to, then Eloheinu is this particular moment.
Yeah.
But then when I get to Echad, it's a deep awareness that this is, that this moment is eternity. That
yes.
Always will be, always has been. It's not separate from that. Broad.
The broadness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beyond anything.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's a great contemplation as well. I see that too as being implied in those words. That's great. Yeah, and it's sort of another version of the same thing that we can approach the divine from different angles that in our minds may appear to be separate. Just because that's how our minds work, we tend to separate things and then relate them to one another. But then it's telling us to just be aware that there's a non-separateness between all of these different polarities.
To experience that.
Yeah, to experience it, to bring it to mind. And
well, thought,
the way I experience it is that it's a, it's just a relaxing of the dualistic creating mind, because we tend to, that's what our thoughts do. Our thoughts separate things. And so we just bring to mind this very simple thought, oh, they're not really separate. Okay, so now what? Now nothing. You just relax your mind and you just be with it. So that's how I tend to relate with this. But yeah, thank you for that contemplation. So let's close with a coming into the Shema again with the three letters in the body. And Peter, you're just jumping into it. So you may not be able to fully get this right now, but you can, of course, go back and watch this video and you'll get it. But briefly, the Yud, the letter Yud is in the head, the letter He is in the chest, and the letter Vav is in the belly. So when I say Yud He Vav or Yud Vav He, I'm really saying head, chest, belly. So Yud and He and Vav. Okay. So coming to nice, comfortable position. And we're going to begin sipping the three sips of air, sipping in Yud, sipping in Hey, sipping in Vav, filling the body with light, and chanting Shema, projecting upwards, left hand coming up. Shema. Breathing in Yud, breathing in Vav, breathing in Hey, projecting Yisrael downward, right hand facing down. Yisrael. Taking a moment just to feel the column of light, light extending upward, light extending downward. Breathing naturally. And now breathing in Hey, breathing in Yud, breathing in Vav, and extending Yah Adonai to the front, right hand facing to the front. Yah Adonai. And breathing in Hey, breathing in Vav, breathing in Yud, extending Eloheinu to the back, left hand facing back. Eloheinu. Breathing in Vav, breathing in Yud, breathing in Hey, and Yah Adonai to the right hand facing to the right. Yah Adonai. Breathing in Vav, breathing in Hey, breathing in Yud, extending Echad to the left hand coming to the left. Echad. And bringing your hands to your heart, seeing your heart as the central nexus point of the intersection of the beams of light in six directions. And we'll chant a little bit, Atahu Atyahi. Atahu 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 Atyahi Atyahi Atyahi. Atyahi Atahu. And allowing the words to chant Atahu Atyahi to chant in your mind. And we'll sit just for a few minutes, breathing, aware of the extension of space without boundary or border around your body. If it's comfortable to see those six beams of light, then you can do that. If it's a strain, don't worry about that. But just being present with whatever is present in your awareness as we sit in quiet. And coming to close the meditation with the three portals. So bringing your right hand to your heart and taking the attitude of offering awareness lovingly and unreservedly, unconditionally to the fullness of this moment as it is with Lecha. Deep breath in. Lecha. And bringing left hand to your belly, feeling down through your abdomen, down into your legs, down to your feet and toes, shining into your chest and heart and lungs, shoulders and neck, down your arms to your hands and fingers, and filling your face, feeling your facial muscles, your skull and your brain, bringing a little smile to your lips, and anchoring this body awareness with Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. And bringing right hand to lightly touch your forehead, aware of the whole space, boundless, limitless space within which this moment arises. The fullness of the light in the six directions. Venishma, breath in. Venishma. Kissing fingers. Amen. Ose shalom b'mamav hu yase shalom aleinu v'yalko Yisrael v'yalko yoshvei teva. Imru, amen. So, just going to unmute folks here for a moment. If I can. There we go. Stephen is still muted. Somehow I'm unable to. Oh, there we go. Just wanted to unmute everybody so we could say goodnight to each other and wish you all continual deepening and knowing the depths of your own being ever more deeply. And may this practice bring richness. And I look forward to connecting with you all next Thursday night or maybe sooner if I see you before that. So all blessings. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good to see you.
Good night, everybody. Good to be with you all.
Yeah, you too.